The title for this message is, you know, Women of Impact, you know. And so just so you know, we're continuing our Blessed Family series, and this is the second to last. Well, let's jump to our foundation scripture. And this is the foundation scripture of foundation scriptures because it's about foundations. So here goes. It says Matthew 7, 24 through 29, it says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one in authority and not as the teachers of the law. So, you must understand, you know, and I just want to say, I'm talking to women, but the things that apply to women apply to men too. I was thinking, how do I illustrate this? And this is what the Lord gave me. I was in the shower, you know, one of those moments of clarity. Believe me, the Holy Spirit speaks quite a bit in the shower, if anybody knows, you know. I don't know what it is, maybe just because everything else is, you know, there's something about being bathed by the Word, you know, but washed by the Word. But he said to me, "Look at that pink razor." And I'm going to be honest with you. In the absence of a black razor or a blue razor, I have used a pink razor. It's like, I need a razor. And I found that a $2 more expensive razor works just as well than the men's razor. You know, whether it has 2, 3, 4, or 5 blades, I don't know how many they have nowadays, they work the same. So the word that works for women works just as well for men. Is that okay? Is that a good illustration of that? All right. Yeah, I won't admit to any more than that, you know, but yeah, you can't go in my bathroom when you visit. Yeah. So you must understand that identity is the foundation that your life is built upon. We know that before a house is to be built, it must have a strong foundation. As a matter of fact, the bigger the house, let's say a skyscraper, the deeper the foundation has to be. Because it is as sure as death and taxes that you're going to go through troubles. You don't have to say amen to that. It's just true. There are storms and temptations. There are crises that are going to test your foundation. Some of you are even being tested right now. But I'm going to say your foundation needs to be made strong if it's not strong already. And for all of you, God has a layout. He has a design, a footprint for your house. Psalm 139 says that he has written a book about you, and in that book there's a particular design for your house. Everyone has a different design. Each of you has been designed with a project. God has a project for your life and for your family. And for each of you ladies, God is intent, determined to establish a foundation in your life that is up to the task. Amen? Some of you want fame. But if God gave you fame with your current foundation, you will end up falling away from the Lord. Look at how many celebrities started in the church. And somewhere along the lines, it went to their head and they got lost. And obviously, I don't want to judge them. I really don't know their lives supremely well. But you will recognize some of the names and maybe you know a little bit more about them. Whitney Houston started singing in the church. Usher. Jessica Simpson. She was the daughter of a youth minister. Diana Ross, R. Kelly, Katy Perry, John Legend, Carrie Underwood, Justin Timberlake, Kristen Chenoweth, Britney Spears, and so on and so forth. They all sang in their churches before they became big. And now you can't really see the life of Jesus. I don't want to judge them. Maybe some of them do have a relationship with Jesus. It's just not very apparent. Sometimes, you know, the Bible does say, by the fruit there will be none. So I pray if they've fallen away, that the Lord will bring them back. But what I'm trying to say, sometimes we want things in our lives, but we ask for them, but we don't know that our foundation is not ready for that just yet. Amen. I do believe that God wants people to be in the media, you know, to praise the name of Jesus. There's many people, you know. One of them I really like is Benjamin Watson. He's a tight end for the Ravens. Yes, for the Ravens. I know it's another team, but he's a man of God. He used to be with New Orleans. Now he's with the Ravens. But man, he's got the word in him. He's always encouraging people through Facebook, and he's written books about family and other issues. What a man of God. He uses the platform that God has given him, you know, and he is a man of character, and I appreciate him for that. So you got to be careful what you ask for. Mark 8:36 says, "For what will it profit a man," and I'm going to say, or woman, "if he or she gains the whole world and loses his or her own soul?" Amen. I'm just trying to apply it to women. Is that okay? All right. It's not there in the scriptures, but I just want to apply it to women. To see where all went wrong, we always have to go back to the beginning. Everybody say the beginning. So a few weeks ago, we read in Genesis 1:27 the following. God created mankind in what? His own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So not only did God make man in his image, but he allowed his image to form the basis of their identity, of his and her identity, because God walked among them. He says, "You were made in my image," and they were able to see what they look like. So the more you are in contact with God, the more you can know your own identity. They were able to see him face to face. Their identity was being built on God himself. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. It says, "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory," as we contemplate him, "are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." So as we behold him, you know, our identity is being strengthened in him. Amen. But then sin came, and they were not longer able to see him. And that image that they had began to be distorted. All of a sudden they couldn't see God. Because the Bible says now that he's the invisible God. We can't see him. So we're grasping for our identity from different places. Right? The Bible says that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. He's come to steal your identity, to kill your dreams, to destroy your future. The world began to develop into a place where worth was found from things other than God. From our performance, from our social status, from our nationality, and if I dare say, even from the color of our skin. And all of a sudden it became about comparison and contrast. I'm not sure how much I'm worth, but I'm going to compare myself to the people around me. So I'm going to seek to obtain it from others by comparison. We live in a world where so needing to know where we came from so that we can know where we're going. So God wants you to be women of impact. Listen to me. We've been saying this for the last few weeks. God doesn't want you to just be a survivor. You know, he wants you to be a thriver. You know, he wants you to be an expression of God himself. Right? Not just for you to suck up everything God has for you. He wants you then reflect it to the world. And each of you has a unique expression of God that had his design and that layout that I was telling you, but that plan for your life. He has designed a beautiful house for you that you would be able to withstand the storms and to be a refuge for others and to be able to heal others around you. God has even allowed for difficulties and things that come in your life for your identity to be set in him. I hope you're hearing this. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 27 through 29. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken. Obviously, I would have to read a lot more to get into what he was referring to that once more. But it says, created things so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Let me say that again. So that what cannot be shaken may remain. There are things in our lives that need to be shaken. It says, therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. And I want to tell you, ladies, that God is a jealous God. He's jealous for you. He doesn't want others to be the object of your identity. He must shake that which can be shaken and consume that which must be consumed because He has a plan for you. Look at how the psalmist said it. Even if my father and mother will leave me, you will never forsake me. The psalmist wasn't saying that the mothers and fathers are bad. Amen? That these are amazing people you put place into my life. But at times they may fail me, but there is one who will never fail me. That is Christ. And I'm going to stop beholding others, and I'm going to behold Christ so that He can affirm me in who I am, where I came from, and where I'm going. He's the one that can make sense of the pain that I've gone through. So a woman of impact is one who is in a pact. Let me say that again. A woman of impact is one who is in a pact. And the first pact you need to make is a pact with your eyes. Let me give you first a definition of pact. It is a formal agreement between individuals and parties. It is also a covenant, a protocol, a settlement. So how do we apply this? It's basically saying, I have settled in my heart that I belong to God above all things. Above all people, including my husband, my children, my parents, my friends, my boss, anybody. You know, a pact is often established when there's two nations at war. And let me tell you, we are in a war. We are in a war. There's a war for your soul. And after we have a series of battles, there's a point in time where usually there's a victor, and when there's not so much a victor, and they say, hey, we got to draw a line. Right? We got to draw a line right here. You may not like it, but from now on, this is where I draw the line. And sometimes you need to do that with Satan. And you need to do that with your own self. Because sometimes Satan is not your biggest enemy. Sometimes you are your biggest enemy. And you need to draw the line in the sand. You need to make a covenant. You need to make a pact with your eyes and with your heart. Say, I draw the line right here. This is my territory. This is a line that I'm not going to cross. I'm not going to behold anything higher than Christ. I'm not going to behold anything higher than Christ. And when your gaze begins to drift, when you look side to side and compare and contrast, and you begin to feel a little spiteful, a little resentful of others, guess what? It's not them. It's you. Is it okay for me to say that? So you need to take your gaze, that from which is not the image of God. So you need to look up. Look up to Him for your identity. Amen? So what are some of the things that we place our identity into? Let's talk about that a little bit. Well, we talked already our performance. And I know this is a guy thing. We feel good when we get things done, but worthless if we do not accomplish things. Right? Anybody been there? That was me all the way. Amen? How about our looks? Ladies? Now I'm encroaching your territory. I'm going to begin to meddle a little bit, if that's all right. You know, I really believe every lady is beautiful. Every woman is beautiful. And don't let anyone tell you otherwise. And every woman should be cherished and admired. However, women are bombarded by the way they look. They're bombarded in their mind. They place their identity on their children. I'm a good mother if my kid's a little more better behaved than the kids over there. Or I'm a worthless mother if my kids did something bad. So we have placed our identity on something other than God. And there's some things we just cannot control. You know, in talking to a guy that was an expert in how to set good goals for a company, he was talking about McDonald's. He says oftentimes they will set a goal for the guy at the window. You need to have so many sales. But can he control the sales? No. Because he cannot control how many people drive up, right? And what they buy. It says a better, you know, measurement, a better indicator, it says how many people you can make smile. Because now you have an opportunity to, you know, affect the outcome. You know, if you put a big smile, guess what? People are going to smile. It's just our nature. Turn to somebody right now and just smile. You'll see that they can't help it, but they're going to smile. You know, even if you fake it till you make it. You know, smile like the sun's in your eyes. Yeah. You know. You know, it's so funny that women love taking pictures and selfies, you know. And you'll watch them somewhere, they'll be like, I'm walking somewhere. Oh, let's take a picture. And then their face goes down to a frown as soon as they get done with taking the picture. Let's take a picture. And then it goes back to a frown. It's so funny to see that. We place our identity in other things like our jobs. Do I have a good job or not? How about our car? You know, have you ever seen somebody with a real expensive car but lives in a really, you know, bad home? You know, it's got to look good, you know, driving around. You know, how about our house itself? You know, I don't care if I'm in debt till I'm, you know, 85. You know, I'm going to get a really nice house. You know, I hope I'm not stepping on people's toes, you know, on that. That's not the point. How about jewelry? How about the man you're with? Or the woman you're with, you know, talking to the men. How about popularity? You know, for young people, and I'll be talking to you in 2 weeks, you know, but I remember young people thinking, oh, you know, sleeping around was like a badge of honor or something like that. Look how many people I'm sleeping with, you know, and I bet you those people aren't doing very well now. In high school, you get a lot of peer pressure. So, let's see how women are bombarded, because obviously Satan has a plan to destroy your identity. So I have another meme to kind of, you know, illustrate the point. So I'm going to just let it do it. So let's look at this important graph of vital data. The content of women's magazines, I know the font is real small, so I'm going to read it for you. The color on the left says, you're beautiful just the way you are. And the color on the right says, articles about losing 20 pounds in 4 weeks. So if you've driven, you know, I mean, you get your shopping cart, go through the, you're going to go pay at the register, and you start reading the contents of those magazines. That right there pretty much, you know, sums it up. Actually, no, it's not accurate. There is one more topic that you don't see in there. What is it? Sex. 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 Look at Cosmopolitan. Look at Vanity. Look at, you know, even the teenage magazines. You know, they're all about, you know, those three things. Hey, you got to look beautiful. Hey, you got to lose weight. Hey, you need to have sex. You know, and this and that. So you got to trying to cause you to put your identity in something other than God, of course. So, let's talk about some of the thing, another area that the women are often affected by, and so you'll recognize this particular logo right here, Brenda. All right, it's the power of the like. The power, it's a powerful thing. You know, Facebook can be a roller coaster of emotions. We're, you know, scrolling down to the pictures, and we're seeing what other people are doing and what they're not doing and the shenanigans they get into and the fun they're having, you know, and their great selfies and all this stuff. And we're just, you know, and I don't know if you've noticed it. I would ask you guys to begin to discern how it makes you feel, what it actually causes in you, because sometimes these things that are, you know, can be, you know, it's amoral. Facebook is amoral. You can make it what you make it. Some people make it a great ministry tool. But I would just want to warn you that if you start feeling really, you know, your self-esteem go down as you keep going down the page, then maybe you need to stop. And there's all these emotions you go through. You go through guilt. You go through jealousy. Sometimes you feel like coerced, like, well, I need to hit like, because if I don't hit like, then they're going to, you know, because they're going to notice that I hit like on this other one, but I didn't hit like on this one. So now they're going to be upset with me, and I can't take that. So I just go ahead and hit like on all everything I can hit like on. Yeah, so it's kind of exhausting at times to be in Facebook. And all the women say, yes. You don't have to say amen, but you can say yes. We don't want it to be so. So we live for the approval of people. They often say that women don't dress for men, that they dress for other women. You know? Did you see her outfit? Did you see how expensive it is? Or lack of? You know, how does she do it? We're constantly comparing ourselves to others. It's a competition of sorts. Or, they didn't say anything about my outfit. So, you can't win. You know, men know that you're treading on the thinnest ice of a Minnesota lake at the end of winter when she asks you, how do I look? If you hesitate, if you try to change the conversation, if you just say it's okay, you might as well have said, it looks horrible. And you get no second chances, because you will never see that outfit again. It's one and done. I mean, my side of the closet is encroached. I was like, how did that end up on this side? It's because... Is that okay if I say these things? I can't wear that again. I've already worn it twice. I wore it once to church and I wore it to that party, but I can't wear it to those two things again anymore. You know, and it's already on Facebook, so people have seen me in it. So I can't wear that anymore. So because all of us are devoid of the image of God, you know, we're like leeches. We're trying to leech and just, you know, suck the identity from different things around us, you know, whether it's right or wrong. We're just trying to cling on to things, you know. And some people, it's good to get, you know, when I get validated by Pastor Joseph in a time when I was really struggling. You know, the word says that like apples of gold is a timely word. You know, and there was times when I was struggling. He didn't know that I was struggling, but he would just come up to me and say, Eric, I just want to tell you that, you know, you're one of my favorite people. Or I just want to tell you how much I love you. Or I just want to tell you how well you preach today. Or, you know, and those things just would do something. In a time when I wasn't getting enough, you know, validation of the best kind, which is that from Jesus. Sometimes you need somebody to validate you on the horizontal level. You know, those are good, you know, validations, but sometimes we get it from things that are not on a good foundation. Are you getting what I'm saying? So sometimes we run into houses, if I can say houses, which look pretty good, but they only look good because though they have been built on sand, they just haven't hit by a storm yet. Another way to say it is you're one crisis away from your house going down in pieces. There's a lot of people out there in this world living like that. Until the storm comes, everything's good. But once that storm hits, watch out. So we look at these people and we're standing, oh, wow, they look pretty good. They look successful. They look confident. Now, Romans 12:3 says, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought to. Because I must say, there will be a day when it all will come crashing down. And it actually may be a good thing. Because for people that it doesn't crash down, hell will be too late. You know? All it takes is a sickness. All it takes is a death. All it takes is a tragedy. A business deal gone south. And everything they build comes crashing down. So I want to say to you, your true identity must be placed in Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:1 that He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's a mighty fortress. He is my strength. He is my shield. He's my redeemer. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's acquainted with sorrows. He's the Prince of Peace. And He's got the whole world in His hands. By his words, all the atoms, every proton, and every substance of every planet, every celestial being is being held together by his very being. If you want to have a solid foundation, you got to build it on Jesus and Jesus alone. Amen? You got to understand this because our identity is our foundation. It's actually the thing that colors and even distorts how we see everything around us. It's how we see people. Doesn't the Bible say, love your neighbor as yourself? But if you don't like yourself, you're not going to love your neighbor. If you hate yourself, guess what? You project onto other people. So we see people, circumstances, opportunities differently, depending on our identity. Another thing that it does, it also establishes our expectations. You've heard about expectation management. We set expectations on things and on people. But because it's on a faulty foundation, we are easily offended. We're easily wounded. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Look at this. You know probably this story. I'm not going to get into the scripture, but I'm just going to give you a summary. When they were in the desert, you know, when Moses and, you know, and the people of Israel were going around the desert after leaving Egypt, it says that they wanted to go into the promised land. Before they did it, they sent 12 spies, right? And it's amazing that 10 of these spies that they sent into the land, when they came back with a very negative report. Oh, it's going to be rough in there. The people are like giants. We see ourselves like little grasshoppers. You know, they're just going to squash us the moment we step in there. You know, and here come Joshua and Caleb coming back. Guess what, guys? It looks amazing. We got to go in there. Man, we're going to take them out. It's so lush with fruit, you know, and they brought back this huge grapes. And it's like, oh, man, I can't wait to get into the promised land. How is it that two people look at the same situation completely different? Right? What makes a difference? I would, you know, submit to you that it's your identity. That's your identity. That's where things stem from. You know, the world may call you a half-empty glass kind of person. But in Jesus, we see ourselves as more than conquerors, as directed by God, as favored by God. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Identity is a filter. It is a set of colored glasses that cause everything around us to look bright or dark. How does it look for you? Okay? Anybody ever seen this cartoon? I know most of you that are a little older, you probably know it. Most of the younger generations may not be familiar with it, but can you show them this next slide? Are you a Tigger or an Eeyore? Is everything Tiggerific? You know? Or like, do you see a clown everywhere you go? Nobody likes me. Everything's difficult. Yeah. So, because I'm telling you, people who have their identity set in Christ, they have a bounce in their step, like Tigger. They do. They have a skip in their step. There's a gleam in their eye. Why? Because they understand that as long as you're connected to Jesus, things are going to be good. The best is yet to come. Hallelujah. The best is yet to come. And I'm excited. You know, I didn't start out this way. We all with a distorted image, you know, of God, with a distorted image of ourselves, you know, but as we allow God to wash us over the years and he begins to shake things and we wonder why some things went south, well, God allowed those things to go south so that you would stop putting your foundation on that thing and shift your foundation to the solid ground, not on the sand anymore, but let's put it on the rock. Are you seeing that? Let's look at different people in the Bible. Moses was a grumbling, fearful mumbler too. You know, he spent 40 days and 40 nights in God's presence. And something happened there in that encounter. He said, God, do not pass me by. I want to see you. I want to see you again, like we've been singing. I want to see you again, Jesus. I want to see you, Father. I want to see your image. I want to see what you look like. Because I see what you look like, then I will know what I look like. And the Father said, because you've asked me, I'm going to let you see me. Not just with your spirit like you've been seeing me for the last, you know, several days. For today, I'm going to let you see me with your own eyes. Are you seeing this? Sometimes we just see God, you know, through little glimpses. Sometimes God just comes on us and we get a huge gulp of God, you know, the drink that satisfies. And all of a sudden, He shifts our foundation from sand a little closer to the rock, a little closer to the rock. Are you getting this? Amen. An encounter with the living God will build your identity on the solid God, the rock of ages. Isaiah 26, 4 says, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord Himself is the rock eternal. Let me say that again. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord Himself is the rock eternal. You know, and this is not in my message, but the government is not the place to put your identity or you put your trust. Amen. You know, sometimes they're going to do good things, sometimes they're not going to do good things. But you know what? Jesus will never fail you. Jesus will never fail you. Hallelujah. He transcends all those things. Let me bring this home. All of us have distorted image of God and of ourselves, but as we behold Him over time, we begin to see things shaken that must be shaken. If you choose to put your trust in Him, you begin to see your identity built in Him. Here's the principle. You become what you behold. You become what you behold. You become what you behold. Say it with me. You become what you behold. And I don't know what you've been beholding, but you need to shift your eyes from that thing, from that person, to Jesus, to the Creator Himself. Amen? Because the better you know Him, the better you know yourself. Look at this. If He is the Prince of Peace, then I can have peace. If He is forgiving, then I can forgive too. If He's a Father, then that means that I'm a daughter. It means that I'm a son, right? He's given me the spirit of adoption by which I can cry of a Father. I have the spirit of sonship. Hallelujah. If He's a provider, then I'm well taken care of. Amen. If He wants to reveal Himself, then I'm going to seek Him. Jeremiah 33:3. I'm going to cry out to Him and He's going to reveal to me things. He loves it when people knock on the door, when people search for Him. He's looking for a man to and fro, somebody who is faithful, that He may show Himself strong on their behalf. Hallelujah. Somebody who wants to have their foundation, their identity placed on Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus said in the end times there's going to be many signs. There's going to be many things. And you're seeing it right now. This world is in chaos. You can't even turn on the news because your self-esteem go down the drain. Amen. And you got to be careful when you do that. You'll begin to think, man, you know, it's hopeless. It's hopeless. You know, but you need to just turn it off sometimes and say, wait a second, what does God have to say about this? You know what? And I don't know how it's all going to get fixed, but I know that at the end, we win. At the end, you know, we're going to heaven. Hallelujah. Let me read that scripture again that I read earlier. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. It says, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory as we behold Him. It says, we are being transformed into His image. We're getting the right identity with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord. What again? Which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm excited. You ladies are excited too. You know, my identity was set on many things. And if you guys know our story, my wife and I both come from Mexico. You know, where God has changed our identity in so many ways. You know, we were born in Mexico in a country that's full of problems. You know, the country as a whole has an identity issue, just so you know. People steal from themselves. And they have so many blessings as far as like, resources, you know, but they squander it all and they steal it and they stash it away. You know, most presidents, when they finish their presidency, they move to another country because nobody wants to see them, you know, and they're afraid that somebody's going to take their money, you know. But we came from that and we never dreamt that God would have us be pastors of a nation, of a church like this, to bring us into a nation, that we become United States citizens, that we love this country, that we love Sierra Vista. He's changed our identity in so many levels. I was a fearful, timid young man, you know, but God began to just unpack and unravel things that were so deep inside of me and the way that I grew up, the things that I had listened to. You know, my well-meaning parents, sometimes they put things on you that you know, they just really, the minute, you know, they break down your identity. And all of us are in the same place. In those formative years of our lives, things were said to you. You witnessed things. People abused you in some ways, you know, whether they did it knowingly or unknowingly. And those things just, you know, they distorted the image of God that He created you with. And so now you're grasping for your identity. But I want to tell you, if you're here today, it's because there's hope for you. Amen. You're in the right place to be today. This word is for you. And the more I spend time with Him in His presence, I feel like just layers of lies are being removed from my life. And I feel layers of truth and layers of the right foundation, you know, good materials. I'm being, you know, placed on the rock. And I can withstand bigger things and bigger storms. And the stuff that God has planned for me, you know, His plan for me is bigger than I think. I know because He's building me up for something big. That's not to brag. I'm just saying, I'm seeing His hand on my life. And where I'm going, you're all going with me.
Amen.
Amen. But we've been talking about principles this year. If you want to be blessed, you want to be obedient, right? You want to be a person under submission. There's blessing under authority. Amen. But there's also purpose and blessing and a bright future for those people that know who they are in Christ. You need to go into Scripture and find the I ams. You know, I'm accepted in the Beloved. Right? I'm the apple of His eyes. You know, as many promises that you see in the Scripture that pertain to you, you apply it to yourself and you meditate on them. That's what He told Joshua. You know, I will meditate on it day and night. You know, Psalm 1 says that that somebody who meditates on the Word is like a tree planted, you know, by the water. You know, and it gives its fruit in due season, and its leaf will not wither. And in Ezekiel 47, it also says that that leaf becomes medicine to the nations. Amen? Because your identity is founded on roots that are sucking up the water from Jesus. The water of life. The living water. Amen? I don't know how else to say it. But I think I have one more story to tell you before I close. And then I'm going to have a summary slide. But some of you, life has battered you and your identity is in disarray. But I want to tell you about a woman named Ruth. You know this story. But it's a really cool story. And it was placed there because God wanted us to know that in the lineage of Jesus, there were people that had messed up past. Do you know where Moab came from? If you know the story of Moab, it comes from an incestuous relationship. Abraham had a nephew named Lot that he traveled from Ur of the Chaldeans, right, to the Promised Land or to Canaan. And eventually they separated. And Lot and his family, they moved to an area near Sodom and Gomorrah, right? And then they got delivered from Sodom and Gomorrah. But the wife, the story tells us that they told him, don't look back as you're leaving Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, and she looked back and she was turned into a pillar of salt. So she's no longer in the picture. And it says they moved to these remote mountains and it was just the daughters and the father. And their biological clock was ticking. You know, it's something about women. They have a biological clock, you know. They know seasons better than men. But they wanted to have children. And they said, how are we going to have children? All we have is our dad. So they got him drunk. And one of them had relations with him and had a son. And the next day, they got him drunk again. And he didn't even notice that he was doing this. It says that he had no recollection of this. He had relations with his other daughter and conceived another son. You know, one, his name was Moab. And the other one, his name was Ben-Ami, you know, which is the father of the Ammonites. And the other one's the father of the Moabites. And hundreds of years after that, you know, fast forward, and it's amazing, all these nations that were birthed in simple relationships like or things not in the plan of God, like Ishmael, became then a headache for the Israelites, you know. But anyway, the Israelites didn't care for the Moabites. But in a time of famine, it says that this man and his wife, Naomi, went to move to Moab, and then they had two sons, and they married Moabite women, right? One of them was Ruth. And all of a sudden, the husband and the two sons died. And so now there's this woman named Naomi and there's two women, you know, Orpah and Ruth. and Orpah said, I'm staying here. But Naomi and Ruth decided to move back to Judah, to Bethlehem. Right? And you guys know that, the story. I'm not going to tell it. There's a lot to be said. There's only four chapters. We recommend that you read it. It'll really encourage you. How God took a woman that was considered destitute from another nation, that was birthed out of an incestuous relationship, you know, that would seem cursed by God, but God brought her all the way to Bethlehem, and she became the great-grandmother of King David, which is, you know, the forefather of Jesus himself. You know, if you look at the end of Ruth, it gives you the lineage just to make sure that you know that, hey, she is in this lineage. Then you jump to Matthew chapter 1 and just say, hey, why? Let's talk about her again. There's this four women that shouldn't be in the picture, but God decided that he wanted to put them in the picture because he wanted to show us a picture of grace. That God can use people that come from the craziest places, from the most painful and sinful places, and use you to birth a son that would be used by God to birth something amazing for God. So it doesn't matter what you've gone through. Today is your day for your identity to be built in Him. Hallelujah. He'll change your name. Amen. Oh, I have to go through that quickly. That's a lot of chapters to go through, but it's in Genesis and Ruth, you know. So you probably need to revisit that. So now I have a summary slide, you know, because I always like to summarize things. So building your identity on the rock, let me just explain these things to you. The first thing you need to do is you need to know the attributes of God. The more you know Him, the better you will know yourself. And a good place to start is the I Am statements. I know Pastor Jim has been really big on these things. So what I've done is I've actually sent 40 I Am's to Tamara. She's going to hang it up on the website. It's a PDF file. You can download it. I would recommend that you download it, you print it, however you need to do it, and have it on your fridge and just meditate on them. Maybe you can just pick one particular scripture and the verse that it comes from and say, hey, I am. You know, for example, I'm right here. I am a child of God. I am redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I am forgiven. I am saved by grace through faith. I am justified. I am sanctified. I'm a new creature. I'm a partaker of His divine nature. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. I'm delivered from the power of darkness. I am, I am, I am. And if you begin to meditate on these things, you're going to feel these things falling off of you and things being packed into you, downloaded from God into you. Amen? All right. Number two. You need to behold Him in His presence. There's, you know, there's an amazing interaction and exchange that happens when you're in His presence. What do I mean by that? You know, prayer times, obviously worship times, just meditating on His Word. You could be driving, you could be at work, and you're just chewing on a word, you know, like a cow. It says the cows, you know, regurgitate their food and they're chewing it in again. You know, you may need to do that with a word, you know, swallow it and say, hold on, let me think about that again. You know, like Joshua, meditate on it day and night, and you're going to get some revelations. You know, on it. Let me bring a little bit of balance, because the word is really balanced. I think it's a specific word for somebody. There are some mummies in this place that sometimes live with guilt because they don't have enough time to spend the word. You know, and they say, oh, I'm just not having the prayer times that I used to have. I can remember the last time I didn't have a crying child in my lap or something like that. You know, how am I supposed to have a quiet time? And I just want to just break that burden off of you, you know, and say there are seasons in life. You know, if you can just grab a verse, you know, and pray here and there, wherever you can. God knows what you're going through, okay? I was reminded of when they were going through the desert. You know, it says that in 40 years, the same clothes that they had and the sandals that were on their feet did not wear away. They didn't have to go to the mall and buy new clothes. It says they just, you know, I know women wouldn't like that today because they have to have new clothes all the time. But the people in the desert, their clothes that they had, they lasted for 40 years. It was a supernatural thing. And I really believe that that little word that you have, the little bit of time that you spend with Him in prayer, God is going to supernaturally do things in you. And yes, there will be another season in your life where you can get back to having, you know, a good time of, you know, a good solid hour in the Word and prayer and going to Bible studies and all these things, you know. So is that okay that I say that?
Yeah.
All right. And that's why I really enjoy the ministry of MOPS, because, you know, Mommies of Preschoolers is because we have those mentor moms, you know, that have been through those seasons in life, and they come in, you know, once every couple of weeks, I think it is, right, on Wednesdays, and they get to minister to mommies who just want to talk to adults. You know, they just, I haven't been with an adult in a while, you know. Maybe husbands at work or deployed or something like that, and they just need somebody to come alongside of them and to encourage them, because it's not easy. It's not easy. Amen? All right. Number three, fix your eyes on Him. You need to be like those horses. They put this thing called blinkers. You heard of them? Horse blinkers. They prevent them from looking back and from looking to the sides. From looking back and from looking to the sides. All right? The Bible says we need to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen? Look at this. Proverbs 4:25. You may want to write this one down. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. As plain as that. Remember when we talked a few weeks ago? When Peter said, what about John? I said, what about John? Said, forget about John. Just worry about yourself. I'm dealing with you. Our relationship's one-on-one. Don't worry what they're doing or don't do. You know, this is about you. Amen? Number four, turn off or disregard the negativity. Okay? Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. I have found, whether you like it or not, there's some people that they just don't make, you know, into different seasons of your life. They were great for a season, but all of a sudden, they don't want to move on with you. Somehow, God causes it for them to just fade back, and you move on to the next thing that God has for you. And it's okay. I still love them, you know, but they didn't make the transition with me. Is that okay? All right, so sometimes you got to be willing to let go of situations and things, circumstances. Okay, number five, turn on and seek the faith builders. You know, you need to have somebody like Pastor Joseph or Pastor, you know, Atticus, Pastor Jim, Pastor Denny. And these guys are always coming around me just encouraging me. I just feel encouraged around them. You need to have people like that in your life. You know, my brothers and my brother-in-law. You need to allow people in your life that just build you up. Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful, says, for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Amen? So this is also for those that encourage. Be good encouragers. Okay? And last thing, this one you don't really have to do anything about. It's going to happen. When you achieve a new level in your identity, you're going to notice that you can handle bigger things. You're like, wow. I could not have handled that before, but in my newfound identity, I can handle things. God is going to test that victory. God is going to test that new level in your life. So you're going to notice you're going to operate from that new level in your life. Can anybody attest to that? That you've seen growth and all of a sudden you're like, wow, before I could not have handled that, but now I can handle it because my identity is in Him. Amen. Are you blessed this morning, ladies?